We rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We turn to our text from the epistle written by the Apostle James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, bring us your good and gracious gifts from above, and lead us to receive and acknowledge these by fearing, loving, and trusting you above all things. Amen. It all depends on who you can trust. And who can I trust? It all depends on who you can trust. The need to trust has been identified as the most fundamental dispositions of human creatures. It is the focus of human life. And where we find an inability to trust or a tendency to mistrust, we find what anthropologists call an identity crisis. The phrase identity crisis was coined by an anthropologist named Erik Erikson. Erik was a German-born American immigrant who studied people, and specifically he studied children. As an anthropologist, his most famous contribution was what he called the 8 stages of psychological development. In the very first stage of development, Erikson argues that the most fundamental concept for humans is trust versus mistrust. In it, Erikson argues that our most fundamental development as human beings is built upon a need to trust. For example, when you sit down to eat breakfast and you open the box of Cheerios, you're trusting that no one has poisoned the cereal. When you drive across the Fox River, you are trusting that the engineers have done a good job of building a safe structure and that no one has planted a bomb underneath it. And when we take this back to the very first stage of life as babies, we cry because we're trusting. We're needing our parents to come and give us what we need. This is fundamental to how we function as human beings. Now, I don't know whether Erikson is a Christian or not. Nevertheless, his work strikes a chord with us as Christians, and especially as Lutherans. It's built into our theology, and we know it didn't just come about in the last 100 years. It was over 500 years ago that another professor named Martin Luther argued the very same point. If you read Luther's commentary in the Large Catechism on the First Commandment, you'll see that trust to Luther is fundamental to our behavior as God's creatures. Luther writes, "A God is that to which we look for all good and in which we find refuge in every time of need. To have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe him with our whole heart." As I have often said, the trust and faith of the heart alone make both God and an idol. It all depends on who you can trust. And that is really a first commandment question. We should see the first commandment not just as one out of 10 commandments, but as the only commandment. It is the first and the most commandment. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. All of the commandments are built upon this attitude, this identity, this idea, and our behavior will always reflect whether or not we can really trust God to give us good things. It's fundamental to how we behave, and it's fundamental to the struggle we face in temptation. This is where the struggle is born. A desire to live according to God's will. And it becomes a struggle because it's a question of who you can trust. It's a question of where you will look for good things. As Luther put it, who is your God? And so we read, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God himself cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Temptation is a bait and switch. It's a deception, a lie. It offers you one thing, and then it gives you something completely different. It offers you something good, and then it gives you something evil. It's a bait and switch. It's false advertising, and somehow, again and again, we become convinced that we can trust for something good in sin rather than in God. Take King David, for example. Where was King David looking for good things? In 2 Samuel 11, we find him standing atop the roof of his palace in the evening. And he looks. And he looks and he sees something. Something attractive, something desirable. He sees Bathsheba, a woman. A woman who is not his wife, and a woman whose husband is away. Who can David trust for good things? In a sweeping course of events, David orders this woman to be brought to him. They conceive and they bear a child. And then he decides to send her husband Uriah to the front lines. He orders her husband to the front lines of the army and instructs his fellow soldiers to leave him there, to abandon him on the front lines, and that's where he dies. And then King David figures, well, he must do the honorable thing. He'll take Bathsheba to be his wife. She's pregnant, she's a widow, and the only honorable thing to do is to bring her in, to take care of her and raise that child. But all along, David has been so led astray that he doesn't even see the difference between what is good and what is evil. There's no longer a struggle. There's no longer a struggle in temptation. It is as if he says, I am tempted by God. As if he says, God has not given me enough. God has not done enough, and I need to do other things to help myself. He doesn't realize he can't even trust himself. And so each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. While listening to another pastor preach on this text, I gathered a useful quotation from C.S. Lewis. During World War II, C.S. Lewis gave a series of radio announcements, and in it he described the human condition. He said, when a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still in him. When a man is getting worse, he understands his own badness less and less. A moderately bad man knows he is not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he's all right. And in a later broadcast, he said, "No man knows how bad he is until he has tried very hard to be good." It's a struggle. Trust is fundamental to this struggle, and this struggle matters. Sin is a result of trusting in ourselves to find what is good, or mistrusting God to give us what is good. It is as if we think, you know, God really doesn't have good things to give me. And we lose a sense of what good really is. So Jesus described it, saying, it's not what goes into a person that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of a person. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. The evil is not out there, it's in here. And that's fundamental to us knowing where to turn for good things. Because if there's no struggle, it will grow and grow until we have our own identity crisis and we forget who we are, and it brings forth death. Trust is fundamental to the struggle. It all depends on trust. Who can you trust? When you learn that you can't trust yourself, then trust really begins. Because that's where we discover where to turn for good things. Because trust is fundamental also to enduring temptation. Anthropologist Eric Erickson points out that the very first stage in a child's development is trust. It is the stage where the child learns to look up. He is hungry and he looks up. He is tired of sitting on the floor, or he needs his diaper changed, and he looks up. He's got a burp he needs to get out, and he looks up. And when he looks up, there's mom and there's dad. They might be tired. They might be tired of caring for this child, wondering when he's going to grow up to the point where he can finally take care of himself and be left on his own. But ultimately, mom and dad know that baby depends on them for everything. And it's that goal of parents then to give them good things and not bad things. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth, gave birth to us by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Our heavenly Father is unchanging. He gives only good things, and this ongoing, continual reminder is what creates trust in us. Despite all our sins and weaknesses, despite all the ways that we depend on him and still don't deserve it, he calls us his first fruits, the very cream of the crop, his best among all the creation and all creatures. You are his first fruits among creation. As we look up, we see the heavens opened and the Spirit descending in the form of a dove and a voice which says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In a sweeping course of events, Mark tells how Jesus was baptized, how he was tempted, and how he came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. From above, God gave a good and perfect gift. From above he sent his own son to face the devil. From above he sent his own son to proclaim the good news. From above he sent his own son to fulfill our salvation by suffering hell itself. And from above he raised him to life. He sent his word of truth. He called you into his kingdom. And he created this fellowship of forgiven believers. From above, God gave a good gift, and that is why we can trust him. This is a promise against all temptation for you to know that God has laid up a crown of life. It doesn't mean you're going to overcome every temptation, but it does mean you're going to know where to turn. And in turning away from sin, you do overcome temptation. You look up, and there you see your Father. You think maybe he's worn out, tired of being patient, tired of dealing with you, wondering when you'll grow up, when you'll become more self-sufficient, when he can leave you on your own, and yet ultimately you know the truth. You depend on him for everything. And as much as this life changes, as much as our sinful flesh changes, he never changes. Just look up and see in the hands of his own son the crown of life that he's promised to all who love him. It all depends on who you can trust. Well, maybe you've had some bad experiences. Maybe you've tried to trust and you've been let down. You've sat down to breakfast and noticed your cereal isn't so good. You've crossed that bridge and it's given way. You've relied on people in your life that you should be able to trust, and they've let you down. You've tried to overcome temptation, and you've let yourself down. Just remember, you're being tempted, and it's not coming from God. Don't use those experiences as a reason to give up the struggle, to stop trusting, as an excuse to ignore what is in you. Because as soon as you realize what is evil, you will also realize what is good. From above, God has given us this fellowship of his word and his spirit, where he has forgiven all of your sins through his son, Jesus Christ. This is a God you can trust for good things. Amen.